Welcome to Career Tools, our guidance on what happens when you quit your job. Here we go. Folks, this guidance answers the questions, what will happen right after you quit? Will you have to work 2 weeks or 4 weeks after you quit? And will I be escorted out of the building when I quit? That and more this week on Career Tools.
They say a hiring manager makes up his mind as to whether or not you're a good candidate in 7 seconds. In case that's true, I don't believe it is, but in case it's true, you need to know how to impress in those first 7 seconds. We know how, and we'll share it with you. Go to managertools.com/interview. That's managertools.com/interview.
Okay, Wendy, we have guidance on getting ready for resigning, an important process, and you're going to be prepared, hopefully. This is opposed to termination or layoff or all that sort of stuff. This is when you resign. But even though you're prepared, if you've been quiet about your process, about your plans, your manager will not be prepared. And of course, that will color her reaction. And we need to talk about what could potentially happen and how to handle those scenarios. What are those scenarios and what should we do?
Yeah, so we have 2 scenarios. One, what happens if you leave immediately or if you're asked to leave immediately and you have to leave the building? And the second, if you work your notice, you continue working for 2 weeks or 4 weeks or however long was the notice that you gave. And then the last one is leave on good terms, which we would recommend for everybody.
Yeah, I cannot tell you how many people handle this poorly, whether it's being far too candid and probably jaded in a exit interview to, quote, telling someone how you really feel, unquote, which is almost always a bad idea. So first scenario, probably a surprise for some people that they resign and their boss, for all kinds of different reasons, asks them to leave immediately.
Yeah, surprising, although always the case in a movie. Have you noticed that? Nobody ever works their notice in a movie.
Drama.
It would be boring. Yeah. Any role where you're moving to a competitor and you have sensitive information about customers or about plans, those kind of things, you could be asked to leave immediately. Any professional or such as lawyers or jobs that are covered by legislation, securities legislation or something like that, those people are often asked to leave immediately. And it's because there's something you could do with that information that's detrimental to the company.
Yes, it's not personal. There's not a belief that you will, but because of the chance that you would, if you in fact did, despite your stellar character, the company could be called upon later and said, she resigned, then 2 weeks later she did something terrible. You could have easily asked her to leave immediately, and this could never have happened. And we don't mean to be rude. We don't want to slap anybody in the face after potentially years of service, but why wouldn't you take that reasonable next step?
Yeah, it's a policy. It's like, we'll do it for everyone, for the one person that harms us during this period.
Yes, that's the problem with policies, right? They're skewed toward reducing risk, but then therefore tends to crimp creativity in many cases. For instance, you resign and you give 2 weeks notice and your boss in 2 days is starting chemotherapy and you and your boss are key people in an organization. Well, would your boss feel right to say you're terminated or, you know, okay, fine, you have to clean out your desk and there's nobody for your directs or for your boss's directs to turn to? And now suddenly some vice president is in over his or her head. I'm reminded of the movie, when we're talking about this, Margin Call, probably my favorite movie about Wall Street ever, where a Wall Street investment firm lays off a bunch of people. And the person who is laid off, a risk analyst, actually has done some work. And they can't find him on the day that they really need him, the very day they laid him off. And it's one of those things where the policy might make sense, but there are exceptions to the rule. We don't advise organizations to do this, and we don't advise them to have a policy to this effect, unless there are very specific legal ramifications. I would also say that I would add another potential criteria to this, Wendy, which is it's not a across the board thing, the ones you mentioned, but if you work for an immature, reactionary boss who doesn't know any better, that may happen to you just because of who you work for. And that may have been part of the reason you resigned, of course. So there are systemic reasons for this. And then there are always case-by-case situations where bosses have the right to do it. And if you say to yourself, well, my company generally says they'll give you 2 weeks, but your boss asks you to leave immediately, you say, well, my boss won't do that because our policy is 2 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever. Which, by the way, interestingly enough, our guidance is 12 weeks to get ready for a resignation. Even if that's your policy, recognize that your boss can still be immature, overreact, take it personally, feel that his or her reputation will be harmed in terms of retention scores, will pull the trigger, and I pardon that analogy. But more importantly, it is much harder to get back in after someone is out. And if I resign to my boss, Wendy, and I'm assuming I have 2 or 4 weeks, which, by the way, plays into my financial decisions and what I told the company that's gaining me, assuming I've done my homework and I'm leaving one company to go to another. And by the way, they meant able to change my start date from a month from now for all kinds of reasons. If I'm suddenly out because my boss says, fine, clean out your desk effective immediately. The problem is HR saying, we disagree with that manager. We want you to come back. It's not that easy.
No.
It is much harder to come back in.
You got to go work for the guy.
Yeah.
And the guy's just told you to leave. No.
Yeah. Good. Okay. I'm sorry. I interrupted with a long soliloquy there, but pick up where we left off, Wendy.
That's right. I just wanted to make it clear that we're not talking about ethical or legal breaches here. We're not talking about you slapped a coworker, then you're asked to leave immediately and for good reason. That's it's part of the punishment.
Yeah.
And in this case, we're just talking about you plan to resign, you go into your boss, you tell them that you're resigning.
Yes, exactly. And you should be prepared for all of these possibilities. And too many people mistakenly believe I gave 2 weeks notice, so therefore, by definition, I'm going to get 2 weeks. No, not by definition, necessarily.
Not at all. So in the roles where it is required that you are escorted from the building, you probably already know that you're in one of those roles, or you've seen other people leave and that's what's happened. You don't have to feel like a criminal. It's not that you're being escorted from the building because you did something. It's the potentiality of it.
That said, we respect your emotional state that other people have been fired and they've been escorted from the building. And so therefore, people on a different floor with you won't know that you resigned. And if they're feeling like in a crummy mood toward the organization, they may assume that you were fired because that essentially confirms their biases about the organization. But you have to decide to get over that. No question.
And hopefully your manager or someone from your team will escort you. There's nothing that actually says it has to be security. And often the manager or someone from the team will help someone out to their car with the boxes and it will look like, you know, you just left. And even if they don't, it's not about you. It's about the policy. It's about what they require. And people will find out later that you did resign and you're going somewhere else. And then they'll just resolve it all in their own heads.
Yeah. So if Wendy came to me one day and said, Mark, I'm resigning. And let's say there's a policy that at our company, there's not, believe me, folks, that if you resign, you can't stay. If we were all co-located, I would probably say, well, I can only assume that where you're going is better. You wouldn't make the choice if it weren't so. It would be misleading. It would have been unethical of me to tell you I wanted what was best for you and then for me to be frustrated that you're leaving. So I wish you well, and I hope we can stay in touch. And the only people who work with me are people I trust, and I trust you, and that means a lot to me. And if you wouldn't mind, let's step outside in the office, my office, and I'll make a quick announcement to everybody that you are leaving. And even though it is going to be in the next half hour or 45 minutes, but I want to give them a chance to say hello and not to worry about why you're leaving and tell you how much we care about you and encourage you to stay in touch with everyone and for you to be able to share your personal email address with everyone and so on. Now, there's no policy in companies that say you're going to leave immediately that says a manager can't do that. Now, what I'm just describing is a pretty creative, pretty cool thing to do. 99% of managers won't do it because they think they're supposed to act like Darth Vader when the company says somebody has to leave that day. And unfortunately, a policy of somebody has to leave that day sends a message of, we don't trust you anymore. And the company may be justified in doing that, but that doesn't mean an individual manager can't deliver that policy with delicacy and kindness. And kindness is generally always a good thing. So we've covered the issue of you've resigned, but they walk you out the door. We hope that happens to no one, but one must be prepared for the eventuality.
And talking of prepared, even if you don't expect to be walked out, make sure you have everything you need anyway. If you have documents that you need, if you have phone numbers that you need, if you have email addresses that you need, make sure you already have them, because you could lose instant access to all of your technology and your desk and all sorts of things.
Yeah, you've got to have that stuff printed out. And we got people kidded us years ago, 10 years ago, when we put out guidance about having printed versions of your contact list, because people just start thinking of company-owned technology as their own, and they start thinking about their stuff because they use it so frequently, they become attached to it. But it's not your stuff. And if you're a digitized person, you're going to discover that that stuff has all your stuff in it, including personal stuff. There are many stories we've heard of people who lose personal contact information because they made it easy on themselves by putting it in a company-owned device.
Yeah. Okay, so the next scenario is that you'll work your notice. And it's probably most likely that you'll offer to work your notice and your boss will accept. That's probably, I don't know, 75% of the time that's what happens.
Yes, I would agree.
And just so it's clear, the idea of your notice period is not to give the company time to hire someone. They can't hire someone in 4 weeks if they're doing it
usually
properly.
Usually, right, yes.
Anyway, and it's not there for that purpose. There's not supposed to be someone in your chair the day you leave, or at least that's what the notice period isn't. That's not what the notice period is for. And if your boss is the kind of boss who's promised you extra staff and a new printer and all of the things, and they haven't ever got around to it, believe us, even if they say, please, will you stay 6 weeks and I'll be able to hire someone, they're not going to hire someone because there's no evidence towards that. What it is for is for you to wrap up your projects, or at least get them in a position to be handed over to someone else, for you to create any process documents or standard operating procedures that will help someone who takes over from you, for you to sit for some time with someone else who will take over, even temporarily, what you're doing.
Yeah, I think it's important. There's a mindset here, which is the day before you resigned, there was an assumption. You did nothing to mute in the minds of other people that you were working in the best interest of the company. Once you're leaving, you're still obligated, if you're staying, to continue to work in the best interest of the company. But because now the company knows you're leaving, the question doesn't become, what work can we give you? But rather, how could we best use your time in light of the fact that you may have some knowledge, there may be some transitions, and so on. When you say, well, I've resigned, that's not in my best interest, you're essentially saying, oh, so all the work before that you did was in your best interest. And if it happened to benefit the company, that's good. We disagree with that at Manager Tools. Well, it's not illogical to a lot of people. It is not how a professional thinks. A professional does what he or she is supposed to do when they're supposed to do it, whether they privately want to or not, really without debate. So what that means is you continue to do that. Now, your role has changed and your obligations have changed because your timeline has changed. Your manager had previously been managing you as if you're going to be around forever, which, by the way, creates problems for many managers, and they act as if they don't need to retain people and they don't do their job day to day, week to week, month to month, and then they suddenly panic and walk you out the door on your first day that you resign, stupidly. So I assume what we're going to tell them, Wendy, is they have to be prepared for that, right?
Yeah, because you have known that you're going to leave. It's not like it was a secret to you. So at a minimum, you need a list of the processes that you need to cover or the projects that you need to hand over. And then think about your calendar. If you stay for 2 weeks or 4 weeks, do you have enough time to create those procedures or teach someone those processes in the time that you have? And bearing in mind not only your calendar, the 2 weeks you have, but also the 2 weeks that they have on their calendar, whilst you'll be able to drop some meetings, they won't.
Yeah.
And so if you have lots of meetings, or you think that the person who is going to take over from you, which is a best guess by you because your manager doesn't actually have to do what you think they're going to do, you need to have written out the procedures or done some of that work ahead of time, way ahead of time, so that you can use those 2 weeks most usefully for the company.
Okay. And do we want to move now to leave on good terms?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my favorite part.
So whether you work your notice or not, and whether you're leaving for good reasons or bad.
Can I interject here, Wendy? Sure. For those of you who don't know, the phrase work your notice is a term of art, which is a standard HR thing, which is when you resign and give 2 weeks notice, does the company want you to work for those 2 weeks? That's called working notice. Wendy mentioned it earlier. I should have said something earlier, but just in case you're wondering what that is, that's a classic HR/internal managerial phrase that means, do you get to stay or not?
That's a classic. I've used it forever and I don't realize that nobody knows what it means. Yeah.
Yes. Confirmation bias. Yes.
Exactly. So you want to have a good relationship when you leave with all the people in the company, whatever the reasons are for leaving, because one, it'll help you in the long term with your relationships and your network, but in the short term, it'll help you with your references. I can't tell you how many emails I see that say, I have to give references for my new job, but my old boss hates me. And then they don't know what to do. So if you can endeavor to not have your boss hate you and actually like you, then you'll be better off when it comes to references.
Yeah, it may be short-term frustrating. It may feel like, gosh, I really need a chance to speak truth to power, which I think is a way overused term, because you spend your whole life speaking truth to power. You better leave a really clean life, better live a really clean life. Otherwise, power's going to crush you every once in a while. But I think if you take the strategic view and you ask yourself on the receiving end, when you've had bad relationships, bad situations, and perhaps you contributed, and please don't sit here listening and saying, I'm certain I haven't contributed at all. If you're reasonable about it, you've contributed. What do you want the other person to do? What you want them to do is forgive you and be kind and so on. If you decide to stir the pot, if you decide to stick a few people, if you decide to make clear your disappointment, if you decide to stymie someone or send a message about someone that causes their career to be derailed for some reason or another, don't ever ask your life to be without detractors or people working against you. Don't ever expect other people to give you the benefit of the doubt. Karma works. There's all kinds of movies where karma doesn't work. But in my life, my experience is karma works. And you better smile at people on your way up, because you will see those people on your way back down.
And even if you think you're on good terms with your peers and your boss, it's just you have a conflict with your boss. Often your peers won't help you if they know that it means going against their boss,
yeah,
who they're still working for, who has conflict with you. So it's worth working on all of the relationships. And some people can't be turned around, and some people will have a reaction to the fact that you're leaving. They'll think that you're leaving them rather than you're leaving for a better opportunity. But you can work on it.
If you reach out at work and they're not comfortable, reach out to them at home. Send them an email from home address and say, look, I know things were touchy. Hopefully we can stay friends, see what happens. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, but it may be in the heat of the moment, they feel they're looking over their shoulder and thinking about the boss.
So the way to end a job is the way to start a job, which is with all of the enthusiasm and willingness to help that you can muster. Like, professionals don't let what's coming next affect what they're doing now.
You don't check out while you're working. You stay focused, you deliver all the way to the end, and people say, wow, what a pro, what a professional, right?
Yeah, tell them about that guy that I like so much.
Oh, this is my all-time favorite story about people who handle themselves professionally. And I wish I could share the company, but I can't. But I was there when this happened. I was facilitating an offsite for a Fortune 500 technology company just north of my house in Silicon Valley. I was working very closely with one of the greatest people I've ever worked with, a female executive who was a very senior person in the company. And we had planned the entire 3 day or 2.5 day offsite down to the nits. And we had gone through all of the people who were there, all the attendees. I was working for her boss directly, but she and I were operating it and I was facilitating. And there were probably 10 executives in the room, you know, VPs, senior VPs, senior people, and senior managers, directors, senior directors, and so on, people with 50, 100, 200, 400 employees. And one of the people was just an outstanding, focused attendee. I mean, so much so that at the end of the, I think the second day, somebody sort of jabbed at me a little bit and said, "Oh, you're just saying that because he likes something that you like." I don't know. Maybe the guy was a golfer. I can't remember what the reference was to. And I said, "No, I got to tell you guys, I'm not, that's not me. I'm going to shoot straight with you because I have to earn your respect within a fairly short period of time. None of these people had ever met me before." And I made a point of pointing out that the guy that I was most impressed with in terms of performance, this one particular guy I'm thinking about, had just disagreed with me about 2 hours ago and had said, basically, "You're wrong. This is wrong. You can't possibly mean that you think we should do X or Y or Z." And I said, "Well, I do. And I'll tell you why." And we kind of argued. I can't remember how that was resolved, but it was pretty clearly a tense moment in this discussion. And at the end of the day, I told the group, "No, of the last 2 days, my favorite attendee is this guy because he came focused. He volunteered. He spoke openly. He was respectful of the people. He demurred to people when it was appropriate. I mean, it was the ultimate team play." And I'll just tell you, I don't mind admitting that the best team player is a guy I disagree with every once in a while. I mean, heck, at this level, executives, I mean, you guys, you're going to disagree. You can't just expect everybody to go along. About an hour later, we finish. I'm cleaning up, and my colleague, the female executive that I was working with, took me aside and said, "You know, I think you just made that guy day. I said, "Well, I was really just making a point." She says, "No, you don't understand. The day before this executive offsite was convened, he was laid off. He was given basically a month. Had I known that before, I would have written him off as an attendee. The class that he showed, and by the third day, a day or two later, everybody knew. And of course, then everybody started sending him a mail saying, wow. I mean, really impressive." And that's just the kind of guy he was. And if he ever said to me, "Mark, I need some help finding a job," I would bust my tail for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was class. It was pure class. So our guidance here, guys, is be that guy. Continue to be predictable. Do your best. Be a professional. Be polite. Do your job. Don't check out and start doing your other job, because your other job will know. If you start checking out of this job, you're going to check out of them at some point. And again, smile at people on your way up. You'll see them on the way back down.
Yeah. So most people worry about what will happen when they tell their boss they're leaving. They expect some big blow up or to be marched out of the building because that's what they see on the movies. And more often than not, you get a sad, shocked manager who wishes you well. And if you're well prepared, you can make the transition go well for both of you.
Exactly. Do the right thing. It's the Manager Tools and Career Tools way.
It is.
Good. Thanks, Winnie.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Come back next week for more guidance about how to have an effective career. See you then.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want, with easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions. It couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.